Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. The first order of business for this evening will be the approval of tonight's agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda at this time?
Motion to approve the agenda as last revised.
Second.
Have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve this evening's revised agenda as being printed. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Next, we'll have approval of the minutes of our April the 1st, 2013 meeting.
So moved.
Would you finding of facts same time?
Sure. Motion to approve finding of facts as well.
Okay, good.
You have a second to that?
I'll second that.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve the minutes of our April the 1st meeting as well as finding of the facts of the April the 1st meeting. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening. And in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and to ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and to be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain their request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. And the board may then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board may then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you are here for a case listed under old business, please be advised that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. In addition, items listed under old business are considered after all of the new public hearings, and you're advised that it may be late in the evening when such matters come up. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may review all of these proceedings live on the internet. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we request that you turn it off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First case, please.
Case number 11197, Colonial East Community LLC and Colonial East Limited Partnership, northeast of Route 1, Coastal Highway, 0.25 miles northwest of Road 276, Wolf Neck Road, within Colonial East Mobile Home Estates, tax ID number 334, map 6, parcel 335 and 335.1, a variance from the required separation distance between manufactured homes and other structures within a mobile home park, and a variance from the permitted lot coverage within a mobile home park.
Maybe some more.
I'm okay.
You okay?
I'm okay.
All right.
You want to get sworn in?
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Stephen Class, Georgetown, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. As I think most of you all know, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in Georgetown. With me, as you just heard, is Steve Klass. He's one of the owners of Colonial East Community LLC and Colonial East Limited Partnership, which entities own and operate the Colonial East Manufactured Home Community. I'm sure you're all likely familiar with the location of Colonial East as it's existed in Sussex County for a very long time. As you know, it's located on the eastern side of Route 1 in the Midway area, or if my kids were here, they would tell you it's located right behind Rita's. The stand over there shows an aerial map with a Google overlay showing all 315 sites which comprise the manufactured home community. If you're looking at that, which also happens to be tab 5 in your notebook, the first page of tab 5, at the very bottom of the page where Axiom Engineering's information is located, that would be the part of the community that's closest to Route 1. At the top of the page or the top of that display, that would be the part of the community that's adjacent to the Big Oaks campground. The other tabs, which are in that same vicinity, and this is largely just to help orient each of the board members to this particular site, tab 2 is a tax map and parcel of this entire region. The roads that are Carriage Lane, Wagon Wheel Lane, Gunpowder Lane, Powderhorn Lane, all of those that are in a row there, those are the manufactured home community. If you turn to the second page, you'll see all the 911 sites and addressing on there, which clutters up the picture and renders it almost unreadable. The third tab is similar to what you see on the display, which is with the addition of the tax parcels. And what that again shows is all of the tax parcels, and then the second one shows the addressing, which obscures the buildings. The fourth tab is the zoning classification for those same tax parcels. And obviously the red is commercial, and the balance of it is AR1. The zoning for Colonial East is AR1. As you know, a manufactured home community is a conditional use in the AR1 zoning district. Tonight's application may take a little longer than I would typically like to take with an application before you all, and that's because tonight's application is for a community-wide variance for all 315 sites that are located in Colonial East. This is sometimes not called a community-wide variance. Sometimes it's been referred to as a blanket variance for the entire community. Tonight's application seeks two variances from Section 115-172 of the Sussex County Code, which is the conditional use section that allows four manufactured home communities in the AR1 zoning district. The first requested variance application is to reduce the required separation distance between manufactured homes from 20 feet to 15 feet. And it's actually not just between manufactured homes, it's between manufactured homes and any other structure located on the site. The second requested variance is to increase the allowable lot coverage from 35% to 45%. I think all of you were here when about 2 to 3 years ago, manufactured housing became an issue of great attention, and Sussex County Council appointed an ad hoc committee to address some of the concerns that you all were seeing on a fairly regular basis at that point, and to see if any code changes could be brought about. The ad hoc committee consisted of community owners, homeowners, as well as members of Sussex County Planning and Zoning staff. One of the members was Mr. Klass, who's standing here to my right. Another member was Mr. Lank. One of the primary concerns that was mentioned during all of those meetings was the application of the current zoning code to these older manufactured home communities. One of those older manufactured home communities would be Colonial East. And the concern that was heard over and over again by the committee was today's zoning code requires 5,000 square feet for a lot, and the older zoning codes did not require that. And how do you apply today's standards to those older communities? As I said, Colonial East is one of those communities. The land was purchased and laid out in the early 1970s. When I was talking about this with Mr. Lank, as we were preparing to file this application, I took a little history tour through Sussex County zoning ordinances. I thought it was important enough that I included that history in your exhibit book. If you look at tab 6, you will see the interim zoning ordinance. And Mr. Lank is very proud of this one because it was just several sheets of paper. And if you wanted to, you could actually frame it and hang it on a wall rather than have a full code book as we currently do. But if you look at the second page of tab 6, you'll see that section 9B talks about trailers and mobile home or tent sites in trailer parks. And the lot size there, or the minimum lot size rather, was 2,000 square feet with a 40-foot minimum width and 35% lot coverage. In 1970, the Sussex County zoning ordinance was adopted, and that's tab 7. And you'll see that in section 24B, the zoning code required 3,000 square feet as the minimum lot size with no dimension less than 40 feet, and again, the 35% lot coverage requirement. Tab 8 contains the 1973 amendment to the Sussex County zoning ordinance. And in 1973 is the first time that the zoning ordinance moved from 3,000 square feet to the current 5,000 square foot lots. You also see that it changed from a 40-foot as the minimum dimension to 50 feet wide with 35% lot coverage. Just so the history of it was complete, tab 9 is the current portion of the Sussex County zoning ordinance, which is section 115-172. And if you look at G4, that contains the requirements of 5,000 square feet and no side being less than 50 feet in width and 35% lot coverage. As I indicated, Colonial East was created in the early 1970s when the minimum lot size was 3,000 square feet. If we were to try to average out the area for a lot in Colonial East, it's probably around 3,500, obviously some being a little smaller and maybe a few being a little bigger than that. And this means that Mr. Sharp and other legal folks would say that this community was pre-existing, non-conforming, oftentimes referred to as being grandfathered in, because it has 315 lots that obviously wouldn't conform to today's current code, but did when they were created. The standards that were created back then likely made more sense because, as you know, manufactured homes at that time were 10 feet wide and 12 feet wide. And today, the homes are typically anywhere from 16 to 28 feet wide and have become, obviously, have a much bigger impact on a lot that's only around 3,500 square feet. This presents a problem as everything in life, these homes wear out, and as older homes are being replaced, it's not possible to comply with the separation distance and lot coverage requirements without seeking a variance. Just by way of example, if a person wanted to replace a 12-foot wide home on a site in Colonial East with a 26 by 52 dimension home, it would not be possible currently in Colonial East without coming before you for that individual application and seek variances for the separation distance between those units as well as the lot coverage requirements. If a home was 26 by 52, the home itself would cover 1,352 square feet of the lot, which if the lot was exactly 3,500 square feet, would cover 38.6%. Of course, that would require a variance. And in addition, as you know, you hear these applications probably on almost a monthly basis at a minimum. Oftentimes people want sheds and such on their lots, and so that 38.6% wouldn't allow for even a shed to go in addition on the lot. One of the best ways to see this is to look at the aerial map that's in your exhibit book at tab 5, the first page. And if you look, you can see the roof outlines of the homes, and it's pretty easy to see the newer homes. There's a handful of newer homes in there, and you can see that the roof dimensions of those homes cover significantly more area. You can also see that on the older homes, the skinnier areas that are there, there's many additions on those. People often want to have a porch or an extra room, or sometimes it starts out as a porch and then becomes a room over time. And so most of the homes that were originally 12 feet wide have additions on them that make them, if you use that as their width, very similar to today's 24 and 26 foot wide homes. The second page of Exhibit 5 is the section that's highlighted at the bottom of that. I wanted to draw your attention to the homes over here on this side over here. If you can read the dimensions there, and I know they are small when the plot is reduced. You will see, I want to make sure I get this right. Now I do wish the light here was a little brighter, but you will see that when the wider home is there on the far right, that the dimension between that and the home next to it is 15 feet, and I'm on the third home from the left where I was pointing earlier. If a same or similar size home was put on the site to the right, there would again be another 5-foot variance that would be sought, and the separation distance would move from 20 feet to 15 feet for that as well. And if you go across that row and to the left, you will see the same sort of analysis. There's another home, which is the sixth one from the left, and you'll see that currently there's room between that home and the one that's the fifth one from the left to be almost 20 feet, but if the home on the left was to be replaced, that's obviously a home that has some of probably the original dimensions. If that were to be replaced, that size would be reduced. The separation distance that's available would be reduced between those. If you look at tab 17, those are pictures of two modern homes, which would be the type of home that most people would be replacing in these communities. And these pictures are there because they highlight several things. But one of the most important ones is that, as you see in looking at the aerial view, oftentimes people, when they add the structures, porches, and those things, they obviously encroach further into the setbacks than the home itself. The trend here is, as you'll see, is to have porches that are incorporated into the boundaries of the home itself, so that there's no further or additional intrusion into the separation distances and setback requirements. In addition to seeing the actual aerial survey and seeing the impact of the wider homes on these lots, there have been 29 variance applications in Colonial East, which all included requests for variances from the separation distances and or lot coverage area. These were not all for homes. Some of these are for sheds, of course. And these variances range from 2 feet to 10 feet. If you look at tab 13, you will see a chart, which the planning and zoning staff was kind enough to give me, showing all of the variance requests. There's actually 30 requests there, but one of them is for a commercial structure on the site and isn't part of the Colonial East manufactured home community. When you look down through that, if you were to count them up, you would see that 26 variances have been granted. There were 3 that were denied, and the denials were because somebody didn't show up here to present their application. And the second denial was because the person showed up here and it turned out that the variance wasn't necessary. And the third denial dealt with a rather unique shed situation. But all other 26 applications have been approved. And generally, if you were to read through the decisions, which are all contained within tab 13, you would see that generally what's been recognized is that due to the age of the community and the size of the lots and the size of current manufactured homes, in order to for the lot to be usable, that a variance is necessary. And as a, and the range on that has been as little as 2 feet for the variance and as much as 10 feet. But on the whole, I would say the numbers that you see most often are between 4 and 5 feet for the variance and the separation distance. You'll see great fluctuation in the in how the lot coverage is covered on the variance. Sometimes the board has granted, for instance, an 86-square-foot variance from the lot coverage requirements, and sometimes it's been an increase in the percentage. That's been handled both ways, and again, the proposal tonight would be to make it a increase the percentage from 35% to 45%. If you look at tab 16, there is a chart there that I asked Mr. Class to prepare. And you'll see that on the far left, he lists the various components of a manufactured home, beginning with the early 1970s or pre-1976 and going through today. And we put this in there because one of the reasons, besides the fact that these homes obviously wear out like everything does over time, is there have been significant changes in the construction of manufactured home since the early 1970s to today. The homes that are built today are much safer, are environmentally friendly as they contain insulation. That means they consume less energy. For instance, if you the electrical systems were originally aluminum wiring, and as you can see when you move over to the current homes, they're now required to be up to the 2005 NEC code. The structural framing was at one time not what it is today. As today, every home is engineered for both wind and snow load calculations. And every home that leaves a factory has an engineer seal and certification on it. And that obviously did not exist in the early 1970s. The interiors, the walls have moved to as much as 2x6 framing with drywall and vinyl siding. In the early homes in the 1970s, the ventilation for instance, bathroom exhaust as well as your cooking exhaust was whatever window happened to be closest to that feature. Today, these are ducted systems. Probably most importantly is fire safety. The homes, as I indicated, are engineered with designed fire stops for all concealed areas, and they also have hardwired smoke detectors with battery backups. One of the most important concerns in any manufactured home community, whether it's one of the older ones with the small lots or one with 5,000 square foot lots, is fire safety. When the ad hoc committee met in 2011, Sussex County invited Dwayne Fox with the State Fire Marshal's Office to come and answer questions about separation distances between manufactured homes. I believe it was just after the meeting, Mr. Lank submitted written questions to Mr. Fox, which he responded to in writing. And if you look at tab 10 in your notebook, you will see Mr. Fox's response to written questions that Mr. Lank submitted him to him regarding the separation distance in a manufactured home community. And in particular, I'd direct your attention to the second page in the first full paragraph. Mr. Fox states, in conclusion, the Delaware State Fire Prevention Regulations would require manufactured homes to be a minimum of 10 feet apart when a manufactured home park does not have fire hydrants or fire hydrants with adequate, in parentheses, 500 gallons per minute at 20 pounds per square inch flow. Manufactured home parks that have fire hydrants with adequate flow, no separation distance would be required. This application comes the year after Colonial East has had a brand new fire prevention system installed throughout the entire community. If you look at the first aerial that we had up, which was the first page in tab 5, the blue lines throughout the community are the fire suppression system, the water mains, and the larger blue symbols are the locations of hydrants and mains. In anticipation of this application, the fire marshal's office was asked to review this variance request, And I submitted a letter, which our engineer forwarded to the state fire marshal, explaining what the variance request was. And if you turn to tab 11, you will see that the same individual who wrote the letter to Mr. Lang, Dwayne Fox, responded with a fire protection plan review report. And on the first third of the page, right above where the project is identified, in the review status is approved as submitted. And again, this is consistent with the regulations, which say that the minimum separation distance, if there's no fire suppression system or fire hydrants, is 10 feet. And if there is, that minimum is actually zero. Another common theme at those ad hoc committee meetings was that it often appeared to the tenant homeowner that the cost, if they wanted to go out and put a shed on their site, or if they wanted to go out and update their home and purchase a modern home, that the cost for applying for a variance, obtaining a survey, as you know, the board requires surveys, and that all those costs and the time ended up being passed on to the tenant. And that's one of the purposes of this application, is so that that doesn't happen in Colonial East going forward. With a community-wide or blanket variance, as it's called, those issues would be eliminated, as tenants would know that the separation distance is 15 feet and the increase in the gross area coverage for the lot. It would also provide the county with uniformity in dealing with the Colonial East community, as it would know that what the separation distances are throughout the community, and you wouldn't see the variance or the differences in all of the variance applications that you've seen in the 26 that have been filed and approved. With that factual background, I'll address the factors for granting a variance. As you know, the first factor is that the property is unique, or the uniqueness of the application. As was indicated, Colonial East is unique, as it is a manufactured home community that was created prior to the current zoning regulations. And by today's regulations, the lots are severely undersized, which means that strict application of the zoning ordinance would render the lots and home sites unusable. The second factor, which is similar, is that the property cannot otherwise be developed. As was just mentioned, if you strictly apply the zoning code and do not grant any variances, many of the lots in the community will be rendered unusable. The third factor is that the need for the variance was not created by the applicant. We went through the zoning code. Again, it's the change in the code that has made the necessity for the 26 variances that have been granted, as well as this request. And it's also, of course, the change in home size itself. If homes were still 12 feet wide, then those older code sections would fulfill their purpose. The fourth factor is that the requested variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Again, there's no change of land use that's proposed here. It's currently a manufactured home community. The requests would keep it a manufactured home community, and in fact would help to keep the community, which is already well maintained, would help to keep it as a viable spot for individuals to place new homes, which helps the community maintain its appearance and value for the homeowners as well as the community owner. The fifth factor is that it's the minimum variance, and the requested variances are the least modification possible. As was indicated in the state fire marshal's report, with the fire suppression system that the Colonial East had installed last year, there are technically no setback requirements for the state fire marshal. Obviously, that wouldn't render a very attractive or very desirable community. And so in looking at the 26 requests that have been granted by the board, 5 feet seems to be the approximate width or variance that's necessary in order to allow for the width of today's modern homes. Finally, while I know it's not the typical application that the board sees for a community-wide variance, the board has seen these before. Many of you, in looking at the board's prior decisions, have been on them. There have been two such decisions. In 2001, the board granted a 5-foot wide variance for all of the old section of Bay City. If you look at tab 14, you will see the board's decision regarding that variance application. And not surprisingly, in the finding of facts, you'll see that that's another community that was created prior to the current zoning codes. And it largely, those findings of fact would be very similar to what has been presented tonight. Similarly, in 2004, the board again granted a community-wide or blanket variance, and this was for the Leisure Point community. That variance was, again, 5 feet for the separation distances between the homes. Colonial East is similar to both of these, as it, again, was created before the modern codes. And Colonial East, as I indicated, asks that the board grant a 5-foot-wide variance from the separation distance required between a manufactured home and other structures on that lot, and increase the lot coverage requirement from 35% to 10%. I'm going to ask Mr. Klass at this time if everything I've said was true and correct.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
And that concludes our application. We're ready for any questions any members of the board may have.
Are there any questions from members of the board?
Mr. Bourbon?
No.
Mr. Records?
Yes. Your current, there's three qualifications. You got to be the 35% to 20-foot separation, and I believe it's 5 foot in there. Is that correct?
It would be 10 feet, except the code has an exception for the older communities, which renders it 5 feet.
Five feet, right. It's on the special list for the older.
Correct.
I believe you're going up the same alley as you just indicated in your reports on these other mobile home parks. And I believe you're heading towards the same thing Cape Windsor and Swan Keys went, but you're going another route here, which is a blanket variance for 314, lots, correct? So that means that if this is granted, that means you're going to have a 10% increase, okay, in your lot coverage, and you're going to have you're only going to need 15 feet in between. You're still going to need the 5 feet, correct?
Correct.
Okay. If this was granted by the board, I would like, how do you feel about saying, okay, if we up it to 45%, is there a park management there now? Is there a park management? You are the park management? Do they have to come to you for any, okay.
Yes, sir.
Will you maintain that 45% and say the board has, if it approves it, let's say, that you can't encroach any more into that 45%?
Mr. Rickards, we shall, but I don't think we can prohibit them from coming for a variance
right.
before the board.
But you can say that.
Yes, sir. The purpose we're doing this primary is we have a lot of people that cannot afford the $400 and the $200 for the survey.
I understand.
And they asked us to approach here.
Right.
And we're willing to pay the expense to do this, and we think it's fair and reasonable. But we would not give permission to exceed anything.
Exceed that 35. That's all I want to hear from you. Okay. And also the 20. In other words, the 5-foot adjustment. We already made a 5-foot adjustment. The county has already given you a 10% increase in, the percentage of lot coverage. Those lots aren't that big, of course, like you've said. That's the reason you're here. But what I'm looking at is if, let's say, someone wants to increase it to 50% or 55%, are you going to say to them, no, let's keep it at the 45%?
Mr. Rickards, we would not recommend anything that would exceed the county ordinance.
That's what I'm listening to. Okay. All right.
And I believe that the current practice, and Ms. Thibodeau can correct me if I'm wrong, is on a rented lot like this, would you accept an application without some sort of authorization from the property owner?
The board wouldn't.
We would have to have a letter from the park.
Yeah, we would want
okay.
that. We would require that. We would ask you that. We would ask you, have you got a letter from, especially in mobile home parks?
And I point that out because that would allow Mr. Klass, if somebody came to him with an application
that's right at what I'm thinking, you know, sure. It's someone came to us that they would present to the board some documentation that's been approved by you. You would oversee everything that's being done in that department.
Yes, sir. Between my brother Mark and I, we have 81 years of management in that community.
Okay.
We're there every day except, you know, Christmas.
And the fire marshal has said that's interesting, that that separation is not needed if you have the fire hydrants and the 500 gallon per minute.
Correct.
That's something I just learned, okay, because I was always concerned about the separation and fire issue, and that was enlightening. Anyway, that's all I had.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson?
I just want to make sure I understand. It will be continue to be totally manufactured homes, correct?
Mr. Hudson, yes. We have no desire to change use.
Thank
it's
you.
Just the product and safety is our issue.
Okay, thank you.
No questions.
And Mr. Callaway, no questions. Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, I make a motion. We take case number 11,197 under advisement.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills, a second by Mr. Workman, that we take case number 11,197 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I, Mr. Callaway. So by a vote of 5-0. Case number 11,197 is taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made later on this evening. You can stay if you would like. Call the office in the morning after 9. Okay. Thank you.